go to the Word of God. That's the safest place to be right now. Praise the Lord. So let's turn our Bibles and look in the Word of God at the book of Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. The Bible says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. And here's what I want you to see. Walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Praise God. Walking in the fear of God, the comfort of the Holy Ghost. After all, the Holy Ghost is our comforter. Amen. And so, somebody say, praise God for the Word. Here's what we're going to talk about here tonight for just a little while. Let Him have it. Just let Him have it. There's so much anger in the world. I did a funeral not long ago, and it was a very close relative. It was a young man that Carson and I fired up about hunting. He started hunting on his grandfather's property and became a hunter and killed some nice deer and all that. And as he grew up, we grew to love him and he grew to love us. And they even had a good stint in the church there in Raleigh for a while. And they got away from it. And he found himself in trouble with some narcotics and things like that. And it was my nephew's son, 21 years old, got in a little bit of a scuffle with another individual, and that individual left. A few minutes later, he came back with a gun, reached around my nephew's son's girlfriend like that with the gun, and shot him right in the head. And he died. I did his funeral. It was a very sad thing. In the middle of the funeral, I had to walk over and hold his dad in my arms and just whisper to him, I've got you, Robbie. I got you. It's okay. Because he was wailing and screaming. It just doesn't feel right when the children go before you do. And it's just a tragedy. And then to hear the words that it's a good thing. They caught the guy that did it, or he really turned himself in. And went, of course, he went to prison. He confessed and all of that. And then to hear people at the funeral say things like, it's a good thing he's in prison because I would have killed him. It's a good thing this happened because this is what I would have done. I would have let him have it. I would have done this. I would have done that. Amen. Praise God. I don't want to preach tonight, but I don't know how it's going to wind up, to be honest with you. And I've got mixed emotions up here this evening. But here's what I want to talk about. Let Jesus have it. Let Him have all of that. Let Him have the struggles. Let Him have the afflictions. Let Him have all of that. And just continue to let Him have it until we see what comes out of all of that. You and I both know that things would not have turned out as they turned out if they had continued to let Jesus have it. And so that's what we want to talk about tonight. Let Him have it. Could we go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to touch us and let the Word of God sink indelibly into our hearts? Jesus, we seek the face, the favor, and the will of God. We want to walk in faith tonight, and I do pray, God, that You would bless the teaching and the reaching this evening and penetrate our hearts with the Word of God this evening by Your sweet Spirit. And everybody said amen. God bless you as you're seated just now. Amen. There is, of course, another way that they let Jesus have it, and that was the centurions let Him have it with beatings and stripes across His back and a crown of thorns and all of that. They let Him have it. Judas let Him have it when he betrayed him and turned him over to the temple and to the high priest and to the Romans and all of that. He forsook him. He really let Jesus have it. And then Simon Peter let him have it when he was one of the Lord's main squeezes. He was the man. And a lot of things the Lord was preparing him for. And even after Simon Peter betrays him like he does, we find out that the Lord still had great mercy and he still had great grace. Am I correct? And then Pilate certainly let him have it when he turned him over, even when he couldn't find any fault with him. He said, "I find no fault." And he said, "Bring me some water and let me wash my hands." He said, "Whatever you do, it's going to be on your head. It's not going to be my fault. Let me just wash my hands." And they let him have it. When Jesus was crucified, I cannot help but hear the voice of the devil whispering in his ear, "I'm letting you have it." And then the church was formed. And thousands of people since that day have been letting the Lord have it. Everything the enemy planned against our God in the flesh has backfired. And there are people now that are letting the Lord have their praise. They're letting him have their worship. They're adoring him. He is their master. He is everything to him. Amen. And so they are letting him have all of it. Amen. The Word of God let us know in Acts chapter 9 that they walked toward God. And there's an old song that says, "Where he leads me, I will follow." And it goes on to say, "I will go with him, anywhere he wants me to go." So here it is. It's time for the church to experience unprecedented revival. We have had healings that have blown our minds, have we not? I represent one of them. Amen. And so I am not supposed to be here. For the last 15 years, I was not supposed to have been here. But still yet, I'm here. And it's all by the grace of God. And some of you have experienced the same thing. And so that's an awesome thing. I love to see people healed. I love to pray with people that are healed and see deliverances and things. But I would also love to see this church double in 1 year. For the glory of God. Can you say amen? Amen. And so it's time. It's a time for unprecedented revival. Amen. Listen, folks, you are not only on God's mind. You have his protection. You have his blessing. And you have his anointing. That's why, please, don't let your little one-hour Bible study that you came down the line to get. I know everybody saw you, and that's a wonderful thing, but it doesn't stop there. You take that and you use it. Take that and get that out. Take that and share that with somebody. Amen? Praise God. And let's get the job done for revival, for evangelism, for church growth. Amen. Daniel chapter 7 taught me something. Amen. Daniel chapter 7, verse 6, 7, and 9. Amen. Verse 6 said, after this, somebody say, after this. Say it again. Say it again. There's a lot of people that preach the Word of God and they pick up the deep and the far out and all of that. But I pick up some of the most simple things and it just does something to me. And I want it to do something to you. After this, I beheld and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. I didn't even pay attention to all of that stuff. If I did, I'd probably have a nightmare tonight. But, and then verse 7, somebody shout, after this. Somebody say, after this. Say it again. He then said, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful, terrible, strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. And then in verse number 9, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. In other words, I beheld till, say it, I beheld till. The thrones were all cast down. The Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Somebody say, wow. Amen. This is it. Verse 6, after this I beheld. Verse 7, after this I saw. Verse 9, I beheld until. We cannot live in our present devouring circumstances. Somebody say we got to move on. Somebody say we got to find it. What did Daniel do? Here's what Daniel told us he did. He said, I kept looking forward until earthly thrones were completely cast down. All the wings, all the horns, all the fiery faces, and all of the iron teeth, and all of that, that all represents earthly thrones. And Daniel said, I beheld until they were cast down. And he said, after this, I beheld. After this, I saw. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just simply here to tell you there is going to be an after this. After this, you will see. After this, you will know. And you will hang on until. I'm trying to teach you something here tonight. Amen. Paul said, endure hardness as a good soldier. You are going to come out to the other side. Amen. There's no fortune cookie. Amen. And there's no, what do you call it when you look up your monthly sign and find out what it's saying for you? Horoscope. Amen. There's no, none of that. There's no crystal ball. There's only enduring hardship as a good soldier and coming out on the other side, seeing the victory so you can say, after this I saw it. After this I beheld it. Amen. So what do? We start building and we keep building. Somebody say amen. We start giving and we keep giving. Say amen again. Because you have learned that you cannot do what God must do. And God will not do what we must do. Amen. He will not commit you for yourself. He's not going to pick you up by the nape of your neck and catapult you into Sunday morning service, Sunday night service, Tuesday night service, Saturday night prayer. He's not going to make you pray before service. Amen. Those are the things that we must do. But I promise you this, if we will do the things that we must do, God will do the things that He must do to help us. Somebody say that's the truth. Amen. And so it is. We have faith. Somebody shout faith. Do you need a little faith? Praise the Lord. To have the vision, we must have the faith. Am I alone, or have any of you ever had to deal with people that just did not have faith? I've had to deal with people that just did not have faith. Amen. We had folks in our church, they transferred, they're going to another church, now they're sharing their lack of faith with somebody else, but they were here for a while, and someone in leadership found out they had a brother that was going to have a heart bypass, and it was tragic. I mean, nobody knows the outcome from a heart bypass. We know there's medication the rest of your life, and we know there's somebody else's heart in your chest and all of that. And so they were worried, they were fretful. And all they could get from these individuals was negative. I don't know. I've heard of people that don't make it. I don't know. That heart thing. I mean, that heart transplant and all. And finally, I believe someone had to fill in for me or something. It was a, I don't know if it's a leadership meeting or church or whatever. We were having something here at the church. And they came to me crying. Leadership came to me crying and said, "Pastor, I just can't take it. All they do is they want to come up there. They're hearing news from home." And of course, they were associated with one another. And they heard the news from home and how that he's been put back in the hospital. And they don't know if he's going to make it. And he's struggling. And they're coming to her and saying, they don't know if he's going to make it. They don't know. They don't know. Child of God now. Child of God. They don't know if he's going to make it. They don't know if he... And I left right then and went to their house. And I said, "Look, if you don't have anything positive to say, and if you cannot have faith in your God, do not share that lack of faith with other people." And then they looked at me and they said, "Well, what do you think about it?" And I said, "I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter what I think about it. It's what God wants to do about it. And I'm believing God to touch that man. I'm believing God for the heart to work. I'm believing for him to come through with it." Long story short, that's been probably 20 years ago or so. That man's still alive. And one of the individuals that had the negative report about it all is dead. I'm just simply saying, we need great faith. We don't just need faith. We need great faith. We don't need to be able to say, "Bless God, God's going to heal somebody," and not believe that. We need to stand on that. Amen. We don't need head-on collision faith. I know a gentleman one time that was believing God to heal his vision. Man, he was just about completely blind. His glasses, the lenses were so thick. And so in a service one night, he took them off, busted them up, broke them all to pieces, threw them on the ground, stomped on them, believing God, left half blind. Next service I saw him, he was still half blind. You know, I'm not talking about head-on collision faith, just being nuts about it. Amen. But I am saying, why couldn't that man, even till today, be still believing God that the Lord's going to heal his vision? Until God heals his vision. Until he can say, "Whoa, I can't see good in these glasses. I'm going to take them off. Oh, hallelujah, God has healed my body." No, we want God to move right now, or we feel like God's never going to move at all. We let God do what he's going to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it. And until he does it, we're going to believe he's going to do it. Amen. If I didn't think God couldn't fill one building on Thomason Street, fill another building at 208, fill another building at 210, and then fill another building beside 208, I wouldn't preach it to you. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, I've got the faith to know my God can do it. And we need another dose of faith. We need to let God have it. Amen. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, stand up, flat-footed, point your finger at God and simply say, "I've never seen it done like this before, but I know you can do it. I know you can move in a way we've never seen. I know you can touch in a way you've never touched." Hello, I'm not preaching your silly religion. I'm preaching to your relationship with God. Amen. You can sit on me if you want to, because that's what you're used to. But I'm telling you right now, we can act on faith and believe God to move in a great, powerful, wonderful, Holy Ghost way. Hallelujah. The anointing is here to break every yoke and to tear down every stronghold. And you can believe that or not, but God is able, and God can, and he will. And we're believing God for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we need faith. We need great faith. We need the vision. Amen. And to have the vision, we must have faith. Now, I'm going to tell you something the Bible says. Without a vision, the people will perish. Now, this church is not going to perish. But if you as an individual do not have a vision for this church, you will. You're not going to make it without a vision. Because something will come up and take your vision. Something will come up and transpire and take place, and it will take it. "I've tried to pray. I try to read it." And you don't try prayer. You pray until prayer works. You fast until it works. You reach out to God until it works. Hello? Amen. That's faith. Amen. Faith enduring. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. You can't see the deliverance. You don't know when the deliverance is coming. All you know is that it is. Because that's your faith. Your faith believing. Your faith trusting. Without a vision, the people will perish. But here's what I'm saying here tonight. Without faith, you can't trust your vision. Just like those folks I was sharing about with you. Amen. They shouldn't have said a word. Because without faith, you can't trust your vision. All they saw was a dead man that had a heart transplant. Amen. And he's still alive. And one of them isn't. But they saw death. And so if that's all we can see, then we can't trust our vision. But if we can see life, an abundant life, if we can see revival, if we can see refreshing, if we can see renewing, if we can see God regenerating us, restoring us, and giving us a deeper passion and thrusting us into a future that where we have never blazed a trail. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a vision worth having. That's a vision. Amen. And so let me give you the four dimensions of faith since we are in a Bible study this evening. I want to give you four dimensions of faith. Amen. There is saving faith, and that's faith that we were born with. Amen. Because you've got to be born again, and God planted that seed of faith in you for the ability to be born again. Amen. We know the Word of God says to be baptized, but if you get baptized just to get wet, that's not faith. We know the Bible says to repent, but if we say we're repenting and don't mean it, then that's not faith. Am I right? And so what we were born with faith, that is the ability to believe in the baptism whereby we were baptized. The ability to believe in the repentance wherefore we repented. Amen. And then secondly, there's miracle faith. Amen. And this is a faith that you have to grow. This is a faith that has to mature. Amen. In other words, the Lord can't trust everybody with faith for miracles and signs and great wonders and healings. And you may want to know why he can't trust people that don't grow it, people that aren't mature enough. Because what you'll do is you'll buy a bus and you'll put miracle campaigns. And you start traveling the country. You won't have a knowledge of the Word. You won't have any depth. No prayer life. No commitment. Clueless about who Jesus is. But you've got faith for miracles. Listen to me. There will be those that will stand before God that has that type of faith. Their faith in doctrine. Their faith in truth. Their faith in knowledge and wisdom and understanding of mysteries in the Word of God is void. It never came. And so they will stand before the Lord and they'll be proud and they'll be like, I can't wait for him to read my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Read your Bible. He said, depart from me, I never knew you. In other words, not I knew you one time, I don't know you now. It says, I never knew you. And then they're going to argue with God and say, but didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we open blinded eyes in your name? Yes, you did. You used me. And I acted on that faith. But you never exercised your faith for salvation. You never found the truth. You never sought the Word of God. You've perished for lack of knowledge. Amen. So we've got to understand some deep things if God's going to give us miracle working faith. It's going to take more than a bumper sticker. Hello. Amen. It's going to take knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and that calls what David says, deep, calling unto the deep. Amen. And so, but we need miracle faith, and we can grow miracle faith. Anybody can. It's for whosoever will. And then thirdly, there is overcoming faith. Amen. And this is faith that we totally have to trust God for. Amen. We can work it. We can soothe it. We can massage it. We can do whatever we need to do. Amen. To make us feel like everything's going to be. But listen, there's just some things we've got to trust God for. And if we need overcoming, we need healing, we need deliverance or whatever that is, we need to trust God. It's another dimension of faith. Amen. And then number four, there is most holy faith. Amen. I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, I want some of that most holy faith. He said, do you know what you're asking about? I said, no. What is most holy faith? And so, most holy faith. He asked me, and I just felt it in the spirit. I didn't hear an audible voice or anything. There was no angels with whatever. I just felt it in my spirit, the Lord speaking, and we're in prayer. He's impressing me with things. And he said, who's most holy? And I gave it some thought, and I said, well, Lord, that would be you. You are the most holy. He said, that's correct. And so you, he was speaking of me, he said, you cannot be most holy. You don't get that. I said, well, what's going on? You know, what is most holy? He said, I am. Amen. And if you want most holy faith, this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to let me have it. You're going to have to let me have it. How many of you young people have a basketball? Anybody got a basketball? Caleb, you got a basketball? Amen. Would you let Pastor borrow it if I needed it for the church? Sure. Amen. How many of you got a lawnmower? Brother Billy got a lawnmower. Brother Billy, I don't have to ask you. You've mowed grass here with it probably so many times. Amen. You would let God use that lawnmower here at the church. How many of you have something you would not let God use? You would not let God have. Let him have it. But it cost me so much, and I don't want to have to buy another. He gave you the money to buy that one. He gave you the ability to maintain a job to get what you got. I've just got a feeling if we hold on to what we have in this world loosely, that God will give us more than we can hold on to. Let him have it. Praise God. The Bible says, withholding nothing. Amen. Withholding most holy faith is trusting God, depending on God. Hallelujah. Knowing that he will completely be there. Total faith in God. Everything is going to be fine. That doesn't mean stop praying about it because you've got holy faith. That doesn't mean stop fasting. Doesn't mean stop being faithful. Because if you do that, then you're taking away from the saving faith, the miracle faith, and the overcoming faith. Most holy faith lets God have it, all of it, and continues to maintain a deep relationship with him. Amen. In doing that, he can trust us. Now, I trust God that he's a healer. I trust God that he is a deliverer. But can God trust me? I want his most holy faith. That means I've got to obtain his faith in me like I have faith in him. Amen. We can have faith in him and still live like it's a life like it's a disaster. And that's not going to get us anywhere. But if we can live by faith in him to the point that he can have faith in us, we got us a relationship going now. Am I making sense? And that's when we're going to turn our world upside down. That's when we're really going to let Jesus have it. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to move swift. Let me tell you why we should let him have it. Three quick points. Number one, there is a love. Somebody shout love. Amen. I told you the story probably several months ago about the little girl. I'll never forget it. She was just a baby, but she could talk a little bit. And her mother, it was a fellowship somewhere. I was preaching. I think after I preached, we fellowshiped in the fellowship hall, and it was time to eat and all of that. And her mother came back with a little plate for her, and in that plate she had broccoli. That little girl looked at her mom, and she started crying instantly. She said, Mommy, please, not the trees. Don't make me eat the trees. And I guess the broccoli looked like big trees to her. But she did not want broccoli. Listen, how many of you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Just wave at me like that. Give me some affirmation here. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. If you love God as you say you love God, let Him give you whatever you need to have. No matter how it feels, no matter how it tastes, no matter what it looks like. Amen. No matter what the aftermath is. Can we let God just give it to us as we need it? Amen. Amen. If we're going to give to Him, let Him give to us. Right? Amen. Amen. Lord, I accept the trees. Amen. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for the highs. Thank you for the wonderful times in the Holy Ghost. But Lord, I want to take the time to thank you. Where the scripture says, whom the Father loveth, He chasteneth betimes. In other words, He's going to whoop up on us sometimes. Amen. And I want to thank God for that as well. Can you say praise the Lord? And so somebody in this house has learned to love God enough. Because of that, the Lord is rebuking the devourer of your soul and restoring the years that the canker has devoured. I wish I had time to go out and point out, because I'm your pastor. I know where you came from and I know where you are. And honestly, I can see where you're going. Amen. But I'd like to point out to some of you, remember where you came from and look where you are. God has rebuked the devourer. He's taken things. He's blessed you with things. He's taken things away and He's added things to it. Amen. And has made it what it is. Number two, there is a cost. You've learned what it's going to cost to experience what we have envisioned for so many years. It's going to cost everything. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 15 and 16 real quick with me this evening. Amen. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is chosen. This is Ananias kind of arguing with God. Ananias is a great man of God. But God is telling Ananias that there's a blind man coming to your house, and I want you to pray for him, and God's going to restore his vision. And Ananias says, well, who is this? And he said, it's Saul. I'm going to change his name to Paul in a little while, but his name is Saul, and I've knocked him down off his high horse, and I've blinded him, and you're going to pray for him. He's going to receive his sight. And this is where Ananias, the great man of God, said, wait a minute, Lord. Now, I've heard a lot about this guy, and he's got permission from the temple, the high priest, and all the above to gather all the Christians and to destroy them. And to do whatever he desires to do to them. And if you let him come into my house and I pray for him and you open his eyes and he sees me, that's what he's going to do to me. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way. He is chosen. He's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And this is what he said next. For I will show him how great things. God has chosen Paul. Somebody say I'm right. God has given Paul a miracle of opening his eyes. He's blind. He's going to open his eyes. Ananias prays for him. He gets his vision back. Barnabas tutors him and teaches him what it is to be an apostle. And Paul becomes greater than Barnabas. And yet this is what God had to say about Paul. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Amen. Every time you get a rose, you ought to thank God. And every time a thorn comes with it, you ought to thank God. Because if the thorn comes with it, that means God can trust you in the hardship. We want to talk about how great Paul was. We want to talk about the miracles, the signs, and wonders. We want to talk about the writer of over half the New Testament. We want to talk about the man of God that pastored churches in different areas of the country, all over the place, and visited them often and done awesome things. Amen. But we don't want to talk about what Jesus prophesied was going to happen to Paul. He's going to suffer a lot of things. I just want to hear somebody say, so what? I'm going to let Jesus have it. I'm just going to let him have it. Anything and everything he desires, he can have it. Amen. Praise God. And so it's going to cost. Paul's cost for his Pentecost. Amen. We become the Paschal Lamb of sacrifice. One of the greatest characteristics about death is that you can't feel it. Another fact is that you don't leave a trail. Like a rabbit taken by the hunter, when you're dead in Christ, you're already in the bag. Amen. Romans 5 and 8, if you would. Amen. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can you say praise the Lord? To be absent from the body or the flesh is to be present with the Lord. You've gotten away from the flesh only to find peace in his presence when the roll is called up yonder. Amen. All of the lust, all of the flesh, all the pride of life. Amen. We want all of that to be absent. There's only one other place to be, and that is with Jesus Christ in the Holy Ghost. And then thirdly, the reason we want to let him have it is because there is prayer. Thank God for prayer. Amen. Now that can be pronounced a couple of different ways. Amen. Amen. How many of you know what a prayer is? Yeah. It's just conversation with God. How many of you know what a prayer is? That's a person that takes the time to pray. Amen. Don't say, I'm going to pray, if you're not a prayer. Don't say, give me your prayer request, if you're not going to be a prayer. Amen. The only way to offer prayer is to be a prayer. Amen. And so, it doesn't take much. Because the Bible said, the prayer of the righteous availeth much. Amen. All we've got to do is pray. It doesn't take much to be righteous. Amen. Just do right things and then do things right. This is the day, let's stand together if you would. This is the day to fall in love with what you used to hate. This is the day to hate some of the things that you used to love. And I'm talking about us personally. Amen. Change is inevitable for those that fall in love with Jesus Christ because you're born again. And that will create a new creature. A new creature is not created because you confess the Lord. That's just a confession. A life change is what makes the new creature. Amen. We've always had a healthy hate. Man, I can preach about hating the devil and we'll run the aisles and stomp on his head. And we should and we will. I'd like to know how many bruises we've put on him since Landmark's beginning. Amen. And that's healthy. But that's a healthy hate. I don't want us to fall victim of a healthy hate and a very sick love. I want us to have a love relationship with God. In other words, let's just let him have it. All of it. Everything. And anything that he would ask of us. All of me. Everything I am. Amen. Hallelujah. Give God dominion. Give God authority. And don't be so selective about Scripture, but receive it all so we can have it all. Can you say amen? Why don't we just close our eyes and lift our hands once again and surrender? And let's just pray about this together. How we want the Lord to have it all. And how we're going to let the Lord have it. Holy Ghost, it's yours. Everything you've given. Everything you've shared with me. Everything, Lord Jesus, you've only given it to me to share. You've only given it. You shared it with me so I can share it with others. You gave it to me so I can give to others. You gave me hope so I can give someone hope. You gave me help so I can help somebody. You gave me salvation so I can help somebody find salvation. You gave me strength. God, I can go on and on, and I just want to praise you for it tonight, Lord. Every one of us here tonight simply want to let you have it. And somebody shout, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for being in the house of God and being here for Bible study. God richly bless you as you're dismissed in Jesus' name. Go with God and let God go with you.